weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome to the show. This is John Bishop and Kelvin Roberts. Say hello, Kelvin Roberts.
Hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm not bad, actually.
You're not bad?
I'm not bad, I'm okay.
You're okay?
Do you know why? Because it's getting lighter.
Yeah?
You know, it's getting closer to Aintree, which I always feel after you've been to Aintree, it's like when the summer really starts to kind of kick in after Aintree. And it's only weeks away. You know, the Grand National.
No. When's the National?
April the 4th.
Are you serious? You know what? That surprised me, that. Now that you've said that, for anyone listening, this isn't a sporting show.
Mm.
It's just that Kelvin is addicted to gambling. And
not
I'm trying to count...
You are addicted to gambling.
Because every time we do the show, which has got nothing to do with horse racing, we end up talking about horse racing.
Yeah.
So that's got to be some
kind
of
addiction. You realise that, you know, you can bet on football. So are you addicted to betting because you watch football?
All right, then you're specifically addicted to horse racing.
I am addicted to watching the sport. I am not addicted to betting. I don't bet that often anyway.
How many times you bet? How many times have you bet this week?
This week?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I bet you have.
No, nothing.
I bet you have.
Nothing.
That's the joke. I bet you have. See, hey. See what I did?
Is that the best we're going to get today?
That's the magic. Being on your ball, making it work.
Straight out the Christmas cracker.
No, you're right, though. When you've just said that, then, I don't know if anyone else has done. I don't know if you've done. I'm having the same situation now, and I'm having to sit down and go, we're nearly at the end of January. I've got to plan my year. I've got to book whatever holidays I'm going to have.
Well, actually, it's February now.
But that's what I mean.
I know. The first month has gone, and it's, you know, like I say, two more months until Aintree, and then suddenly it's spring, then it's summer.
Oh God!
I get depressed in the winter.
Yeah,
I do get depressed. I find as I get older, I dislike the winters more and more. I'm fed up of dark. I get up, it's dark. I go to work, and when I get in through reception, it's dark. I leave here, it's dark.
I hear what you're saying.
I work at the studio, the blinds are down. It's dark.
I hear what you're saying.
You know.
I hear what you're saying. I think other people would echo them sentiments.
Yeah.
We do not like it when it's dark. That's why in Sweden, it's the highest suicide rate in the world. Because you have 6 months of dark. And they top themselves when the light comes and they realise who they copped off with 6 months ago. No! How did that happen? Just thought you were big boned. So, does it, yeah, well, there you go. I wonder if we've got onto that. How did we get onto that? Oh, that's right. I said how you were and you decided to tell us everything.
Yeah.
Tell us again how you were in relation to horse racing. Right, so we are... February just began, end of January, February just began. The official date of spring, when's that?
I'm not too sure, actually. Spring for me is just like April time.
Is it when the clocks go forward again? We've passed the winter equinox, haven't we? All the days are getting longer, aren't they?
Well, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
All right, okay, so we're on our way. I tell you what I found out this week as well.
What?
I did this show this week, last week, now that we've crossed, if you count the week from a Monday to Friday.
Uh-huh.
I did a show with David Bellamy.
Oh, yeah, the gardener.
The gardener, yeah, it was a chat show.
He's one of those people where people mention his name, everyone seems to want to have to do an impression of him.
Yeah.
I mean, no one can say Rolf Harris without going, you guess what it is, you? You know?
Dung, 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 dung. I forgot what I was going to say then. Oh, yeah, yeah, I did a show, and it was a chat show in Ireland. And And he was on. He was on. And it was great because he's made me see life in a different way, because he reckons that global warming, CO2 increases, isn't significantly affected by human beings.
Right.
He said that it's sunspots in the sun. The sun is hotter than it used to be, which means it's releasing more CO2 out the water. And he was referring to things like in Roman times, you used to be able to grow grapes in York when the Romans were here. And the during Roman times, you used to go over the Alps because they weren't covered in ice, etc., etc. Which leads me onto this interesting point that if he's right and the climate is changing naturally, then the dark days and dark nights may soon be behind us before we die. In our generation, we may end up with longer summers and shorter winters.
Wouldn't that be great? And if he is proven to be right, does that mean we can have our caviar bags back at the Asda?
Yeah, that's what I thought. The first thing I thought was, I wouldn't mind one of them big girls. Well, I think I'm going to get myself a 4x4 now, because they're all going dead cheap, and at the end of the day, it's not my fault. You know, enjoy your holidays. Fly wherever you want it to be. No, it's just an interesting argument. But I think for you, Mr. Miserable, it's dark and wet and cold outside, I'm just trying to cheer you up with a little bit of scientific information.
Did you forget what I was saying at the start of the show? I am cheered up. I'm saying it's great because it's getting lighter.
Okay.
That's what I said at the start of the show.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, tell you, we haven't got going here yet.
Not really, no. Tell him a joke, John.
Can we start again?
What was that joke you told me about the marriage counsellor?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that would go out on air, but it was funny. Funny. Very funny joke. Where are we up to? Right, yeah, basically, this is the alphabet soup. What we do in this show is we try to pick a letter a week and try to talk about it. This week, the letter is J.
Jockey.
Yeah, you're not obsessed. You're not obsessed.
Yeah, but it's going to come out sooner or later, so I might as well start it now.
Jockey.
Jodfus.
Jumps. Go on, carry on.
Can't think of anything else can start with J. No, that'll do for now.
I'll
keep it for the word off.
Yeah. Save all that. So what we've got a show that's supposed to be based around the letter J, which is basically us having a chat with regard to the letter J.
Now, where's all your research?
There, on the screen, on the laptop. a little student boy has gone and done some research, and he's come up. He's come up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words beginning with the letter J.
I can't wait till the last one.
I just
got a little sneak.
Got a glance at it. Well, last week you couldn't see, so I'll tell you what they are. This week, the first word that student boy came up with was jousting.
A sport that should make a proper comeback.
Jousting?
Yes.
What happened to it? Why did it die out? Because people were getting killed.
I think he chopped all the heads off all the people who used to take part in it. Sport of Kings, that, wasn't it? Before the
was Sport of Kings. It was a proper sport of knives. Not knives. Knights.
Knights.
Sport of knights. And it would be a good thing, because the closest we've come to jousting has been those big sticks that they use in gladiators when they stand above the water and hit each other with those big cotton buds. Remember that? No, and that's the best part of gladiators. So imagine that on a horse, but you'd love it, horses.
I was just thinking how much more interesting a 10-furlong dash at Haydock would be if they could like joust each other going down the final furlong.
Or if they were going with 10 furlongs, but not all necessarily in the same direction. Yeah. So, they'd have the gate to say, right, half yous go that way, half yous go that way, and then meet in the middle.
That'd be great.
And see who knocks who off. That'd be brilliant, with it, little jockeys flying around everywhere. So jousting should come back. It says here it was popular in the Middle Ages To sport made by two armoured combatants mounted on horses. It consists of a martial competition where two mounted knights using a variety of weapons, usually in sets of three per weapon, such as tilting with the lance, blows with the axe, and strokes with the dagger, or strokes with the sword. Whoa, that's a proper game, that is.
See, what that doesn't tell you, and I'm about to educate you here now, Mr. Bish, where your researcher has failed, is that I touched on this a few moments ago when I said, you know, horse racing today is referred to as the sport of kings, right? It's just a saying. I'm not saying kings watch it, but it's known as the sport of kings.
Yeah.
This is where it originated from, because this in the olden days used to be the sport of kings. All that's happened over the years is that they don't stab each other anymore.
Well, it says here modern day jousting or tilting has been kept alive by the International Jousting Association, which has strict guidelines for the quality and authenticity of jousters' armour and equipment, and has developed the use of breakable lance tips for safety. I am going to click onto their website if they've got one. I would love to see what they've got to say for themselves. What are the... How do we get onto the website here? There we go. What are the International... International jousting what?
I'll just put that. You should be able to find that there.
Hey, there you go. They exist! The International Jousting Association. Yeah! Oh, there's a league?
Really?
There's a jousting league.
Fantastic.
Let's see who's winning. It looks like there's one fella in the league because he's the only one who sends an email to them. I'm going to go back to this International Jousting Association. I love the fact that people do say, oh, if anyone's got access to the internet, do this, because how enthusiastic must these be? They've actually, the International Jousting Association, have got a website and they've got a coat of arms on the website. And you got to click to enter. I'm hoping that someone's there going, HALT!
WorldJousting.com. I don't think it's that popular, John. They've got 67 registered users.
I know.
Around the world.
I know. This just shows you at the bottom of the website. That's brilliant what you've just said. At the bottom of the website, it sort of says how many registered users they've got. But it also says how many postings they've done. So how many articles they've written to put on the websites. Now, of the 67 registered users to the WorldJousting.com forum, they have posted 6,528 articles. Now, I'm not suggesting that these people are nerds, but that's nearly 100 articles each. So each of them have written 100 articles on jousting.
Three of them are online now.
How can you tell someone's online?
It says there, in total, there are 3 users online, although none of them registered, and they're all guests, of which we're probably one of them. So there's 2 other people right now, probably doing a show around the world, maybe in Venezuela, jousting.
The most users online at any one time was 59 on Tuesday, November the 6th, 2007, at 10:52 p.m., must be a significant jousting moment.
Something was going off then, obviously.
I tell you, they must have been getting really angry. That is brilliant. I've got visions of all the jousters sat there in their armour at home. Forsooth, by this time I wrote an article about jousting. I've only got 99 to my name. That's incredible. The newest registered user is Martin.
Click on Martin Smith.
Martin Smith is the newest registered user.
I think he's lost interest, isn't he? He's only put 2 posts on since he joined last year.
I tell you what, Mark, you've let us down. Oh, here's a members list.
Oh, here we go.
Would be great. It'd be great if the royal family's in the members list, isn't it? Blinking heck! New Zealand, Australia, New Zealand, Norway! New Zealand, Sweden, New Zealand. What are they doing? Jousting in New Zealand?
And Sweden.
And the Czech Republic. Are you sure?
New South Wales, South Dakota.
Do you think jousting might mean something else to other people? Do you think if we get onto it, is jousting, you know, another word for an adult activity in
another
land?
Newcastle in Australia.
Yeah, yeah,
do you reckon
yeah,
they talk funny there
I've
as well?
There.
Really?
Yeah.
Or when you're on a bike?
Yeah, it's just north of Sydney. Oh, I've been and stayed in Newcastle, Australia. And I got sunburnt. I must be the only person on the planet who got sunburnt in Newcastle. But that's true, I got sunburnt in Newcastle, Australia.
Clan MacKinnon, Society of New South Wales.
I'm sorry, this isn't great radio describing something you can't see. But you know when you get onto something and you think, I can't believe that exists. I'm going to spend some of my own private time. Look at this, look at this. One of the members, Andrew MacKinnon, who's posted 56 articles, 56, since joining on the 11th of April last year. So he's done 56 articles. He hasn't been there a year yet. That's a committed lad, and you can tell he's a committed lad because his occupation, he lives in Sydney, Australia, his occupation is advertising and design, but his interest is jousting, medieval fencing, history, and deer hounds.
Right.
What's a deer hound?
Don't know. I'm bored of this. Can we talk about something else?
Yeah, yeah, we'll kill this. Kill this.
Jellyfish, they're funny animals, aren't they? What's the point of a jellyfish? No.
No.
I've seen a few in my time.
No, what are you supposed to do if you're stung by them?
I don't know.
You're supposed to weigh on the sting.
Well, how'd you do that if you get stung on your neck?
That's true, because apparently it stops the sting. Apparently.
Right.
That's what I was told when I was six and everyone was weighing on me. No, it's true. It stops the sting. But they are... The thing about jellyfish is they are the most primeval creature on the planet. They are what all life was like at one point.
I can't believe that, actually.
They are the least evolved of animals.
Really? Yeah. I read somewhere that recently in one of these scientific journals that man has now finally stopped evolving.
No.
We're never going to change. This is it. This is the best we've got.
No.
This is,
no.
Look, this is what... This no. They're just saying that.
Why? Who told you that?
What?
I don't pretend you were reading a scientific journal. You read an article in the Daily Telegraph that was from a scientific
journal. It was a scientific journal.
What was
I have
called?
An interest in science.
What was it called?
I don't know. I'm going back several months here. You know, but these boffins have concluded that this is the best we're going to get. You know.
No, I don't believe it.
But we might get a bit taller.
Tall, that's the thing.
Yeah.
We will get taller.
Yeah, I mean, when I say start evolving, I mean, we're not going to grow like hairy faces and go back to Neanderthal man or whatever they used to be called. This is it. This is the best we've got. Two arms, two legs, a head. We're not going to change.
We're not going to grow another arm.
Yeah,
or another finger.
Yeah, this is it. This is our future. This is what we've got to look forward to. Which I found quite disappointing, actually.
Well, yeah. I think, in all honesty, we need another finger.
For what purpose?
Typing. Everyone types now. Our hands were developed for like grabbing things.
I disagree.
Now we just type.
Because when I had my mobile phone, I was playing you my messages.
Yeah.
This wonderful little piece of kit, I can talk into this and it will do my text message.
Yeah,
voice recognition, Mr. Bishop, is the way forward.
Yeah, but everyone does everything on screens.
Secretary's got to find something else to do other than paint their nails because the typing will be done just like talking into a microphone like this.
Well, you can do that already.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So why do you need six flipping fingers then?
Okay, all right.
That's stumped, isn't it?
It has. Now you can see why I'm not an anthropologist.
There you go.
All right. Well, we don't... Well, just stop. See, this would be great if this was one of those shows where people phone in, because it'd be great if we could say to people what would be something that you would like to evolve. We've had this conversation, an eye on your finger. Haven't I spoke to you about having an eye on your finger?
No.
Oh, is that in a dream? That is something that you would want, an eye on your finger. You know, so you can look around corners and stuff like that. Or look behind you. If you just had an eye on your forefinger and every now and again, just like, you know, if you're looking for someone in a crowd, particularly for those of us who are going to be shorter, Because, like, my 14-year-old son's nearly the same size as me, so he's going to be taller than me soon. So soon, it's going to be like when you go to Holland or somewhere like that, and you go to the bar and then you feel like a dwarf because everyone's massive. Soon, England's going to be, the next level of youth are going to be taller than us. But if you had an eye on your finger and you were in the shops and you're looking for someone, you could just put your eye up like a periscope. Put your hand up and just tilt it around. That's got to be useful. Not entirely. You wouldn't want to pick your nose, or you couldn't type with that particular eye. It'd have to be a hard finger. Yeah. You'd have a hard eyelash on it so you could pick things up. But I think that's got to be... No?
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm just saying, if you could have something you haven't got, what would it be? Come on. Third leg.
Would you have a third leg? Yeah, cricket stumps.
Yeah, third leg. Imagine how fast you'd be with a third leg. A third leg would be good. No. Third arm.
See, all these things are useful if you lost something.
What do you mean if you lost something?
It senses it.
No, I'm continuing the theme for your sake. I'm just trying to say...
Do you know what? I hate this new formula for this show. Since you started doing all this rubbish from Newcastle...
What?
All this research. Research.
I'm only asking you. I've asked you a straightforward question.
What have we got from this from jellyfish?
If there was a part of the human body you would change, what would it be?
Fins. I'd have fins.
What would you have fins?
A bit like Michael Phelps. Because we could all go in the water and no one would die.
It's freezing.
Yeah, well, you tell that to a jellyfish. It's coping.
No, they haven't got fins.
They haven't.
Gills would be handy, the ability to breathe underwater. I often dream that I'm underwater and I can breathe.
Do you know how fins would be useful? Actually, I'm onto something here, because you've seen the film Waterworld, haven't you? Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Right. Classic movie.
Yeah, well, less about that, the better. But obviously, one day it is possible the world could be covered by water.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we need to evolve into fish, which is what he did. He evolved.
No, he was a mutant.
Yeah, so he evolved from a human into a mutant.
No, not during his lifetime. He was born a mutant.
Yeah, obviously from his...
From, yeah.
Yes, you know. So that could come in handy.
Being born a mutant.
Yeah, but mutants come in various forms.
Yes. Yeah, it would come in handy if the world was full of water.
Do you know the thing, though, when you think about it, with the amount of water this planet has, that we, you know, whoever's made us has missed a trick there.
No, he hasn't. We're assuming that we're the good things. He put whales in the water. Maybe that was the thing where he thought, I tell you what, God's up there, and he said to Mother Nature and everyone else, look what I've done. I've made this thing called a whale. It's massive. Huge. And I've given loads of different types of it, but the biggest ones are massive. Mm. So I've put them in the sea, and in the sea they can swim and they eat all of this stuff. And then the gills, they're dead nice, and they jump out the water. Oh, I've finished now. And then she's turned around to him and said, what are you going to do with these little bits that you've got left? And he's going, oh, I'll just rub them together and go, there you go. And that's how human beings were made. Like Morph. You know, you used to watch Morph for Tony Hart, who's passed on. Mm. And you used to admit, that's it, he just threw us down. And then because he forgot to remove the ambition of the human spirit, we ended up evolving to killing the whale. Because he wasn't clever enough to give the whale the ability to make guns and shoot back.
Do you know,
how did we end up
I
there?
I wish we could go back to 2 o'clock and start this
how
again.
How did we end up there?
I have
there
no
was
idea.
some way that someone's come into that conversation and gone, something's gone wrong here. I've just heard him talking about whales shooting back. There must be a civil war happening.
Let's see what we've got to look forward to here, because I'm getting depressed here. We've got Jupiter.
Jupiter, January, Jelly Babies and Jenga.
I can't wait for Jenga.
I tell you what, if we can't create comedy gold out of that is beyond me.
Well, we'll find out in the next 40 minutes. Should we take a non-so-deserved break? Come on, think of something.
Yeah, there's John Bishop, Kelvin Robinson, Alphabet Soup. Hang on. It'll get better.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back. This is John Bishop, Kelvin Robinson. This is the Alphabet Soup. We are talking today about the letter J. We did touch upon upon the religion, cult, or whatever it may well be, of Scientology. And whilst we had the break, me and Kelvin just decided then we won't slag it off just in case Tom Cruise wants to be a guest on the show. So, Tom, if you're listening, whatever you're into, mate. It's not a problem for us. And great teeth, by the way. I never saw the interview with Rossi that he was supposed to do. That's not our Rossi, that's the other one. The one with his own hair. And I'm joking with you, Simon. I'm joking. Hey. I never saw it. But did you?
Yeah, I did.
Was it worth all the ballyhoo or what? Was it a good interview?
Well, not really, because the trouble with these interviews is that it's just there to publicise a film, isn't it? They don't really give too much away.
No.
You know, and Rossi was obviously been on his best behaviour. He just felt he was holding back a little bit.
Yeah.
I reckon if it wasn't for the furore over the satanic sluts, you know, we can obviously call them, I reckon he'd have probably had Cruise by the you-know-what's-its and gone for the kill.
Gone for maybe. What? What would he have said to him?
Well, you know what you said before about, you know, being a clause in the contracts about...
Oh, yeah, that he can't talk about it.
He'd have probably, you know, tried that, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway... Let's move on from here.
Anyway, it does begin with the letter J.
Before we get zapped.
It does begin with the letter J. Well, it does begin with the letter J, because the idea of this show is to discuss things that begin with the letter J. Julian Lescott's not one of them. We've moved on from that. We've touched on jousting and jellyfish with January. Ooh. It's the first month of the year, January. There you go. There you go.
Groundbreaking.
That's one of the groundbreaking.
Fantastic.
Hey, man, I didn't know that. It's named after Janus, which is the god of the doorway. There's the god of doorways in Roman mythology called Janus. So that's the god of bouncers. It's the god of the doorman. He just stands there going, "No, you're not coming in, lads." From Roman times. January is, I think, universally the most hated month. More people get divorced in January, leave their jobs in January, lose their jobs in January as well, even regardless of economic situations. And January has the highest rate of suicide, domestic violence, and people with clinical depression going to the doctors. I actually made those last three up. But it feels like it, doesn't it? It does feel like it. Your face is looking like January now.
I don't like. Well, I've said before, I don't like it. You know, it's too depressing.
If
you know, because you have no money, because everyone gets paid about what, the 22nd of December.
Yeah.
So it's the longest time to go through. You know, to get paid again, and we've still not been. Well, we got paid
and
a few days ago.
It's slightly different this year, and you still wound up. This year was slightly different because the sale starts earlier. But it's that annoying thing is that the sales begin at the time that you got no money.
Mm.
When you've just bought the thing that you're looking at.
That's right.
And paid more for it. That can't be right in anyone's book.
I know. You know. But it's, you know what? The year's got to quite a depressing start, hasn't it? People are losing their jobs.
Yeah.
The recession is officially here.
Yes.
You know, fair enough. The nights are getting lighter, but it's not much consolation.
But the recession, in some respects, I'm glad the recession's here. Not that I'm glad that we're in the session, it's just the fact that I was doing the Five Live the other day, and the journalist was there, and the BBC have had this thing on all their journalists that they could not mention the word recession in their news reports. They had to say, you know, we're in an economic slump. They couldn't say the word recession until it was proved that we've gone through two quarters with negative growth. That makes it recession. That means they can say it. So for months, we've been having journalists saying, I've got bad news, but I can't tell you. Just worry a little bit. Just, you're all going to be skinned, but I can't tell you why. And now they can get it off the chest and say it's because we're in a recession. In many respects, it's like the white elephant. It lightens the mood. No.
Not for me.
No.
It's not really working. No, you know, but it's not really working. But do you know what? Like, recession's a funny word, especially around here. Because on Saturday, I went to the movies, ironically, to watch Tom Cruise's new film.
What was it like?
Good, actually. Valkyrie.
Oh, really?
Good film.
Really? It's had muted reviews.
Well, I always say, judge your own judgment.
You always say judge your own judgment.
Yeah, you know.
Make up your own mind? Judge your own judgment, yeah.
Good film. But town on Saturday evening, me and young Sterling went around 5 o'clock, 5:30, and it was rammed. The shops, rammed.
Yeah.
The cinema, we got rammed. The last two seats. Credit crunch.
No, but that happens. What happens during times of depression and credit crunches and stuff like that is people go out and try and live a different life, try and do something. And that's brilliant. That's what should happen. That's what people need, cheering up, and so they go to the cinema more. That's why, like, when the Roman Empire was falling down, that's when the gladiators started. Proper gladiators, not these pretend ones. Proper gladiators, so to take the mind off things, which may well be, come right back to the point, if this recession goes on, we may well get jousting back.
Half time in Anfield.
That'd be great, though, wouldn't it? Come on! the game's been crap, rubbish, boring, 0-0, but great. We get some fellas that get decapitated. So when everyone goes for the drink, and instead of getting some fat banker coming on and taking a penalty, some fat banker bloke from HSBC or whoever, who's ever mates with the directors of Carlsberg, coming on and shooting at a penalty and falling over, it'd be great. Yeah, we're just having jousting instead. And then the jousting would get longer and longer, and then we'd all end up with, like, the football being a half time of jousting.
How come all bad words always end in shun? Like, you got compression. That's not really a bad word, but you got depression, recession.
Go on, name another one.
I can't think of a third one. I thought you might help me out here.
Yeah.
Condemnation.
I'd like to if you were going anywhere with it.
You get me gist, though.
I get your gist in a subtle way. I do get your gist. I think you're right as far as certain words, I think, are made that way just so people can write songs about them.
You reckon?
Yeah. I'm in a depression because of the recession.
Like a James Blunt ditty going on there. He's not really the happiest soul you'll ever come across, is he? Not his lyrics, anyway.
James Blunt. I don't know, I think he's living the life, isn't he? Well, I haven't heard of him, actually, for a year. What's he done?
He's probably working on some new depressive material. By the way, did you put your tenner on Tea Leaf Ann's prediction last week?
I can't remember the prediction. Oh, was it 2-1? 3-1.
3-2.
3-2, 3-2.
We've not had that many goals yet in two games.
I know. Can't expect miracles all the time, though, you know what I mean? You've got to remember...
You know what's going to happen on Wednesday? Is it Wednesday?
It's going to be 3-2, yeah.
No. It's got this written all over it, right? It's going to be 4-4. I'm a big believer in history repeating itself, right? So here's the prediction. It'll be 4-4. Rafa Benitez will resign at the end of the game.
All right.
Well, why not? Who won the last 4-4 game? Because obviously, did they go to penalties or did it?
What happened at the last 4-4 game is they all decided that no one should win. So they all went and
jousted.
They all went and had sandwiches and cake afterwards.
Right.
That's honestly. I'll tell you what, though, not many people know that.
Putting a tenner on 4-4 might not be the worst bet in the world.
Bet you can't say that. I'm sure in 1856 the score was 17-14 or something. You can't just say bounce rapping again. You're never gonna get a game like that again.
8 goals in a game, maybe not. No. Are you going, are you? More you corporate hospitality.
Don't go in corporate hospitality, mate. Don't go in corporate hospitality. I went to the last two. I've gotta be honest, the last one. I was in the cop and there was two fellas behind me who, to begin with, were funny. Their abuse towards the Everton supporters was funny because they were shouting things like, get back to Wales, which I just thought was really amusing. And I had a mate with me who was from Manchester and supports Everton. And the pair of them started shouting, "Your blue nose Manx so-and-so's, your Manx blue nose." They were doing all of that. And he was just stood there, and I was going, "It's you, it's you." The director. But after a while, they got annoying. They really got annoying. And then just before I turned around, I said, "Look, lads, leave it." Half time came, I thought, "Right, that's all right. At least I don't have to turn round unexpected now. Half time's come. I'll have a little look at them. I'll weigh up if I say to him, shut up, if it kicks off, whether I've got a chance." I turned around, I'd say the youngest was 52. And now, bloke, there was one point during the game, he shouted to whoever at the other end of the ground. He started shouting something to him. Then he went, "Where are your boys?" Like he's going to go out and have a fight with him. 52. Just ridiculous. And to be shame, I should have turned on after 10 minutes when it was annoying me, just to said, "Leave it, lads."
Yeah.
Because I think they were annoying everyone else. But when you looked at them, they were just simple. So I think in terms of the game and the atmosphere, it'll be a completely different thing at Goodison. Completely different thing, because obviously there'll be more Everton supporters there. And I think it's going to be a hard game, but we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, I still favour the Reds, but we'll see. That wasn't the analysis you were expecting, really,
was
it?
Not really, no. But good all the same, in depth.
In depth.
That's what I like to see here.
Critical analysis of what potentially could be a football game.
Yes.
Anyway, Jay.
So what's all this about Jupiter?
Jupiter, the biggest planet.
Yep.
It's the largest planet within the solar system. 2.5 times as massive as the other planets. Did you know Pluto's not a planet?
That's a star.
No, it's not.
What is it then?
It's just been decategorized. You know what it's been decategorized as?
A star?
No, a dwarf planet.
Who came up with a dwarf planet?
A dwarf planet, that's what they've called it.
This is the Vern Troy of the universe.
Yeah, that's what they've done. They've looked at it and put someone. I don't even know if anyone sent a message to anyone on Jupiter, on Pluto, but they've said Pluto's not big enough now to be a planet. It's a dwarf planet. Which is a hell of a thing to say to anyone, isn't it?
That must have been a bad day on Pluto when it was announced.
You can imagine those Plutonians.
How do you reckon they took the news?
Oh. Well, you can imagine, can't you? I mean, they'd been shouting their heads off, wouldn't they?
Demoralising.
But Jupiter...
I'll tell you something interesting about Jupiter. I know a little bit about Jupiter.
Go on, then.
If it wasn't for Jupiter, we wouldn't be here today.
Oh, why is that?
Because Jupiter is a fairly large planet. I think it's a few times the size of our own planet.
2.5 times as massive of all the other planets in our solar system.
And because they're on the same type of orbit, all the comets and everything else that comes from the universe,
Jupiter, yeah,
stops them all hitting Earth. So they are our saviour. If it wasn't for Jupiter, we wouldn't be sat here now trying to be funny, which we're not doing a very good job of doing. But at least it's knowledgeable. So there you go. So never not Jupiter, it's our saviour.
So Jupiter's like the fat kid in the playground who gets rained on first. That's the worst. That's the worst analogy I've ever heard.
What analysis was that? It's like a fat kid in the playground.
Who gets rained on first? Why would the fat kid get rained on first unless he was massive?
It's our protective shield.
It's our protective shield from... Interesting phenomena.
There you go.
Interesting phenomena. Well, we're sat here in this friggin' bunker talking about stuff like that. Do you think anywhere on this planet or on another planet or in another solar system there's someone doing exactly the same thing?
Probably, but better. Yeah. Hey, we're allowed the odd bad week.
Well, mate, listen, yo, a little bit of editorial, mate.
I'll try. I'm about to put in some inserts from previous weeks and see if anyone notices.
Bit of editorial magic. This show will be 7 minutes long. This show will be 7 minutes of brilliance.
Oh, my word.
So, well, we've slammed Jupiter. Oh, man. I tell you what,
What? What?
No, I'm just stretching.
You're right there, lad.
I've just got one of those things, you know, sometimes when you stretch, it just comes on you, you've just got to stretch, which is an odd thing, because it doesn't mean you're tired, but there's certain situations that your body must respond to being relaxed or something to make you stretch. I've never seen somebody in the middle of a wedding ceremony just go, or, you know, in an interview just go.
So what's a Jenga?
Jenga? Oh, Jenga. Is Jenga the thing where you put blocks on top of each other?
Is it? I think you need to sack this off, John, this guy. I know his family, and he's trying, bless him. But you know as a student when there's jelly babies in there as well.
He's put jelly babies in there, yeah.
It's any excuse, isn't it? I mean, what are we going to get for K? You know.
Kit Kats.
Candy floss? Or is that with a C? Kit Kats,
yeah. Yeah.
That's the best part of the show.
No, I was just reading about jelly babies. Just saying that they were launched in 1919 as peace babies to mark the end of World War One, but they stopped making them in World War Two because they were called peace babies and just thought, doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Really, we can't sell these now during wartime. So they had to wait, and then they brought them back again after 1953. And relaunch them as jelly babies.
There you go. Do you bite the heads off?
Jelly babies. You know what? I've never been a massive jelly baby fan. I think they're nice and tasty. But I'm one of them who instead of saying I just want the black, I'd rather have the black, the red, the green, they'll put them all together in one big mash and eat them because they taste the same anyway. And then your tongue's all different colours.
Nice. Gross.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? Just make it a big chewy load of goo and eat rather than being particularly selective about something that's as natural as plasticine.
I'm trying to think of all sweets that you used to get that you don't get these days. At least not that I'm aware of.
Twizzles.
Fizz bombs. Remember Fizz Bombs?
Yeah, Texan bars.
Moon Dust, or was it Stardust?
Oh, that used to jump on your tongue.
Yeah, you used to put it on your tongue. It was like, you just put caustic soda on your tongue, which it probably was, actually.
Yeah, probably not allowed to have that, though.
Stripes, there used to be Stripe bars. They were quite funky.
Don't remember them.
Yeah, they were, you know, a multicoloured bar. Stripers, I think they were called.
Marathon.
It's still around.
Yeah.
Just have a new European-friendly name. Snickers
aren't marathons. There's not as many peanuts in
now.
Me and
you
Snickers.
And the man on the street will always be marathons.
We know. What else? What else is missing that used to be great? Tell you what I had the other day. This was brilliant. Found a shop selling dandelion and burdock.
What, the drink?
The drink.
I can get that at my local off-licence in Widnes.
Yeah, but you're in 1974, aren't you, in Widnes? I haven't seen a can of dandelion and burdock for, I can't remember when.
No.
It was gorgeous.
We used to have this guy who used to come round when I was a wee nipper, when I was a jelly baby myself, and he used to have the drinks on the back of the lorry. And they were brilliant. He used to,
with the bottle, yeah.
I think with his skull or skull, the bottles.
I can't remember.
And you used to be able to get dandelion and burdock, American cream soda.
Yeah, green.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Brilliant.
Yeah. What happened to them?
Well, I don't know.
They used to come round your house. Mind you, I used to go door-to-door selling meat. People don't do that anymore, dude. With my Uncle Alfie. You know, if someone knocked at your door now selling meat, you go, what?
I used to sell fish.
Did you?
I used to go deep-sea fishing when I was a lot younger. I mean, where my folks live, there used to be a commune of like older people's homes. So I used to go around making a fair few bob. Used to sell mackerel packets of three. If you're listening, that was me.
Hang on. You used to go deep sea fish. So this is fish that you caught?
Yeah, off North Wales.
Because the meat that I sold, I hadn't killed.
Was it a live animal?
No, it was different.
By this cow. Standing there with a little rope around its neck.
Yeah, the only one I like. Come here. No, No, what I mean is I hadn't gone to that length. But where did you go deep sea fishing?
Off North Wales. Used to go to this place near between Prestatyn and Colwyn Bay. They still operate today, actually. You can go out there, you know, in a boat, obviously.
What's it? I've never been deep sea fishing.
Brilliant.
Why? Oh, it'd make me seasick.
Well, yeah. But it's just, I mean, I can't understand these fly fishers who stand at a lake all day, you know, waiting to, you know, sit there all day like a garden gnome, hoping and waiting to catch something, which they'll throw back. What's the point in that?
Yeah,
what's the point? Go out to the into the sea, get yourself a bit of mackerel, you know what I mean?
Take
it home with some mushy peas and chips.
You feel like a real man saying, I've killed today's
killing a fish with a little bit of a slap over the head with a mallet, gutting it out. That makes you a man. Makes you a man.
Hey, and then what did you do? Did you do what like fox hunters did to the first person and get the guts and rub them on the kid's face? Yeah.
First time I caught my first fish.
Yeah.
It's a great experience, though. I love it. When you got a really nice summer's day and you're about 20 miles out into sea, and then you can be there for about an hour, nothing, but suddenly you get the schools of fish coming in, and the rods they have, you can catch about 8 or 10 or 12. It's just brilliant. Love it. I'm actually thinking about taking it back up again. Come on to those trawler men.
I don't
see on the documentaries.
Yeah, but that's not, yeah, I could see you in the North Sea fighting off the Spanish.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's a great experience. Should we take a break anyway?
Let's take a break before our final part of the Alphabet Soup. This is John Bishop and Calvin Roberts. Basically, we're like two men stood at a bus stop waiting for something to happen. On City Talk 105.9.
This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
It's the final part of the Alphabet Soup. This is John Bishop and Calvin Roberts. And what we're doing is rambling, to be perfectly honest, and having a chat about things beginning with the letter J. Because it's Alphabet Soup.
Do you know what? I think here today, right now, on this Sunday afternoon, or Saturday night, we make a solemn promise that once we've done this Alphabet Soup, we're going to change the format.
Say that again. No, say that again.
I think we should make a solemn promise that once we've done this Alphabet Soup through to Z, that we actually go away.
Oh, done. Finished then. We will never do the Alphabet Soup.
We'll do something totally different.
Totally different show.
Maybe even interactive, entertaining. We could even go out on the
street. No, let's not go that far. Interactive entertainment.
You've got to build it up, John. You've got to build it up. You've got to give something. You've got to give people hope here. There's a recession on, and they need to know that when they tune in on a Sunday, there's a smile on the radio.
Mate, let's do a live show.
This is live.
No, what I mean is not a live show like this. I mean a live show with an audience.
Interaction.
Yeah, we couldn't do it. No, I mean go out somewhere with people sat there. We'd have to record that because obviously you can't do that in case you get a nutter. Do you know what I mean? Which is quite likely if you say, oh look, we're gonna be I don't know, we'd have to find a bar. And all you need is a mic and then we got people in.
Happy days.
Hey, that'd be fantastic.
We need to go back to our square roots, don't we? You know, me, you, bit of music, tea leaf fan.
Yeah.
Tours coming in.
Yeah.
Having a bit of a ramble with the kids.
Yeah, and sat in a bleeding bunker.
In the soundproof bunker. And, it's pretty precious looking around here. This is what we're reduced to. We're like smashing nice at the end of their careers, aren't we?
We won awards, us, lad.
Have we?
Well, newcomer or whatever it was.
Oh, the newcomer?
Yeah. What? Oh, I won the award. I was just
Wasn't you the only entrant?
Well, no, mate. That was, there was me and at least one other.
You come fast, instead of it yourself.
Yeah. Down here. I'm just flicking through this book, The Story of Liverpool and Caricatures by John Minion. Which we found down here. I don't know why we found it down here, but it's coming home with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it.
So you're stealing that? I mean, it could belong to someone.
Well, I think somebody's presumably done an interview or something like that about it. I'm going to have a little flick through it for a week, and then I'll bring it back if that's all right. It's fascinating. It's got all these people, obviously, from Liverpool. It's done little caricatures of them. And some of them are staggering. People I didn't know or hear of. So I will review that and report back next week.
Fantastic.
That didn't help, did it?
Bishop's Book Review.
Bishop's Book Review, yeah. We could end up being Richard and Judy. Yeah. Do you know what I did this thing?
Book club.
Did this thing on another station this week. And he was hosting it, Richard Mailey. Mm. I got talking to him. You know what he does every night when he goes to bed?
Whatever I say, it's not going to be the right answer.
No, it's not. It's not. And there's not. It wasn't set. What he does, what he takes to bed with him every night.
Yeah.
Is a gin and tonic to bed.
Right.
Do you mean right?
What's up with that? Some people take a cup of tea, cup of cocoa. What's up with a gin and tonic?
Gin and tonic, he said. Gin and tonic and a bit of cranberry. I just can't imagine. Mm. I just cannot imagine.
The cranberry, maybe, but...
But yeah. I can't imagine taking a drink to bed. I just can't.
Any drink?
Yeah. Particularly a cocktail. Particularly, like...
Is this every night?
Every night, he has a little gin and tonic before he goes to sleep.
Just have to sleep next to Judy Finnegan, though. I mean, she's about to have one in each hand.
I never thought of it like that. I should have said, to be honest with you, Richard, I don't blame you. No, she's great, Judy.
Judy's got my respect. Right. Remember that time when she won that award and she had...
The old fell out.
Yeah, brilliant.
That was fantastic.
She's the top girl out of Judy. I do like her.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, he was a really nice bloke. Not an edge on him at all. Not like what I was expecting.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes people are that famous and they're nice, but in a showbiz nice. They're not really nice. He was just a dead good bloke. Mm. But when he said to me, "Did that?" I said, "You take a drink to bed every night." I said, "You know what? The only people who do that are the ones who sleep on benches and shout at buses." That's where you're going, Dickie. That's where you're gonna end up. That's on a bench going, call yourself a bus.
Tell you what, his daughter's nice. She's making a bit of a name for herself, isn't she?
Don't know.
Yeah, forget her name. But she's one of these always seems to be in the tabloids all of a sudden.
For good reasons, or...
Yeah, I mean, she's not got them out yet, but it's only a matter of time, isn't it?
Yeah, before you know she falls down the
aisle. Mother like daughter.
Amy Winehouse trick. Oh, go on then. Will it get me in the papers? Go on then, I'll fall over for you. So, lad, we're coming up to the end of the show.
Thankfully.
Yeah. Don't say it with such...
Right, let's get out of here. Should we play something happy?
Yeah, let's play something happy. Let's play the happiest song that was ever written. Whatever you're doing this weekend, enjoy what's left of it.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go with your bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do with your bimbo, bimbo? Does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh? Bimbo is a little boy who's got a million friends, and every time he passes by, they all invite him in. He'll clap his hands, sing and dance, and talk his baby talk. With a hole in his pants and his knees sticking out, he's just big enough to walk. Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go with your bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do with your bimbo, bimbo? Does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh? Eyes that light up like a star, and the way to light them up is to buy him candy bars. Cracker Jack and bubble gum will start his day off right. All the girlies follow him just to beg him for a bite. Bimbo, bimbo, candy on your face, yo, bimbo.